mix with On the Beat.
See what you can do.
Hey, what's up? It's Zizou back again, E-Society Podcast, back talking movies, TVs, comic books, video games this week, all that stuff. But before I go any further, he's looking at what he needs to do to join the vendors, what kind of trials he needs to take. It's the Nez!
Yo, what's up, everybody? E-Society Podcast. I don't know what episode this is. I get lost. But, we're back with
14 or 15.
Yeah, with just the regular stuff we do, talk about this and that, and let's get this going.
Cool. Yeah, it's been a minute. It's a couple days after we normally do it every week. We let it go a little bit this week, but I don't know about you, but I was dealing with a little bit of a sickness, so it kind of worked out for me. I was going to try to power through, but I was like coughing, so. Luckily, I'm mostly past that now.
Nah, man, I just been working, and I cranked out a couple shows on my own, just some stuff I recorded when I was down in the Bay Area. But, yeah, we're back. I don't know what you want to start with first, but after that, I want to get into some of the stuff that I pulled up.
Yeah, no problem. Working off that one list on the blog, by the way, we got that running now. It's officially esocietypodcast.blogspot.com. That's where I'm going to throw up the show notes and what we might talk about next time, everything like that. Just looking at it, basically kind of going back to, might as well start with last week's Walking Dead episode. It was season 7, episode 7. Tomorrow is going to be the mid-season finale, so we'll probably be talking about that. But this was the episode that dealt a lot with Carl and kind of meeting Negan, and I'm assuming a lot of that comes from the comic books, right?
Yeah, once he gets there, Negan kind of takes him under his arm and shows him around and just basically just what he does and everything. So it was cool to see all that. From what I'm understanding, after the Tara episode, they were saying that the ratings have dropped, and because they're starting to lose watchers because they don't like the way the show is going. I mean, I think the show's going fine. I don't know what's wrong with everyone, but who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, I think one of the things that might be is kind of weird. It kind of happened with, I don't know if you remember, it happened with True Blood too, because that show seemed unstoppable and it seemed like it would run forever. And then it just about the same time, like around, I think, season 7-ish, all of a sudden there was a little bit of a backlash and the show's ratings dropped. And then all of a sudden they announced the final season. So I think Walking Dead's still strong enough. It's just maybe not the juggernaut it used to be. It was like far and away, it was crushing every show. And even with all the people they've lost, still like 11 million people watching it, which is still huge. So I don't think it's in trouble, but, you know.
Yeah, I don't see it being in trouble, but I don't know what's up everybody's butt or why they're getting so mad about what's going on in the show. Man, I think the show's going fine. And they must not be true fans if they're just going to let these two episodes decide them from stop watching it. So I don't know what these people are thinking.
Right. And if you heard us talk about it in previous pods, we've talked about almost every episode. Probably everybody else's least favorite episodes were probably two of my favorite of the entire series. I loved the Ezekiel episode, and I really loved the Terror episode. So, I mean, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I love the way the show's going. I do like how they bounce back and forth with the comic book storyline And then they always veer off with all these side characters that they're coming up with. So, but I mean, like I said, I have no problem with the show. I mean, I'm always still going to watch no matter what. I mean, I don't know what these guys want in the show. I mean, they can only do so much. So I don't get these fans these days.
Yeah, same here. But it seems like that's the way it is with everything. Short side note, I definitely didn't want to get too much into it, but saw two separate Star Wars, and this way we can keep this topic out of the Star Wars pod that we have coming up. One, this weird, I found out there's like a weird group of people that highly dislike Force Awakens, but they love the prequels. And I found that kind of odd. And then, of course, even worse, there was this prank going around. I know you saw it. I saw the post where an alt-right guy started a fake rumor that there's some Trumpness in Rogue One. And it's not even true. And he came out and like, tweeted after it, blew up, and it was like number one trending topic on Twitter about dump Star Wars, which really had me upset. And I know you too, but it turns out it's like, of course, it's not even real and it's like fake news. And that's the problem right now. It's like the spread of fake news and people rallying around false information, you know?
Yeah, I read the story before I posted it. I mean, I just posted it up as a joke, but some of my friends kind of got serious with it. And I'm like,
right.
Oh, geez. But I mean, I read the whole thing and I was like, this is fake. I even went on Twitter and I looked up the hashtag dump Star Wars, man. It was funny, though, because all that stuff that was on there, man, some of those people were really going off. And I was like,
right.
Are you guys that stupid?
Right. And it's crazy, too, because, like, you're really, like, mad about, like, oh, like, you know, comparing, like, you know, the Empire and like, a Nazi regime. And, like, how dare, like, people of different backgrounds get together, you know? Like, really? That's what you're upset about? But yeah, so I'm glad we got that out of the way. I didn't want to mention that during the all Star Wars pod we have coming up. So.
No, I mean, well, a little bit of Star Wars real quick. Did you watch Jimmy Kimmel last night?
No, I wanted to, and I can't believe it, but I forgot to DVR it. So hopefully I'll be able to find like the YouTube clips.
It was cool. I mean, I know they couldn't say much, but most of the cast was there and the director. And they showed a couple clips, and the clips, man, just got me hyped. Or even all these new trailers that are popping up, the international one, and I guess the Chinese one. They just keep adding more and more into what we've already seen. But I mean, just a little bitty clips that they're adding is cool, and I'm all excited. I mean, but they did say I guess Darth Vader is going to have a bigger presence in this. I was reading something. I don't know if this how true this is, but they were saying that Darth Vader wasn't going to be in it that much. But then I guess they had a test screening with whoever, and they were like, no, we need more Darth Vader. So I guess they're throwing more in there of him. I don't know if it's true. I mean, it's just something I read. I just can't believe half the stuff you read on the internet. Right. So
exactly.
We'll see.
And on the same note, I heard, and who knows if this rumor's true, that before reshoots, Riz Ahmed's character, Bodhi Rook, didn't have that big a character, which might be one of the reasons that he doesn't have a lot of merchandise out right now. I'm in the middle of doing the whole photo countdown to Rogue One, and I don't really have any Bodhi merchandise. I'm going to print out a picture of all things, but he'll eventually get it. Anyways, I heard his role actually did get expanded in the reshoots. So maybe before he really didn't show up and wasn't a character, you know, necessarily worthy of an initial action figure, but he became one.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we'll stick in. We're going to end that. We're going to end the Star Wars talk because that's coming up and we're going to come back to that later on after we see it. Speaking of Star Wars real quick, it's got nothing to do with the movie, but a buddy of mine, he bought two tickets for the IMAX viewing, and he can't go, so he gave them to me. So now I'm hyped up now. I get to go that first night.
Awesome.
To see it in IMAX, because before I just had a ticket for just the regular showing up the street from work, But now I need to get rid of that ticket. I need to give that to somebody. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm going to be down San Francisco right by the airport, Tanaferan, for Thursday. And then meeting you in San Francisco Draft House for Friday. And then up in Reno Saturday night for Joel, Steve, Sherry and them. They're going to be at the one in Sparks. Is that the one you're going to?
Yeah, I'm going there Thursday.
Yeah, so they're not seeing it till Saturday. So Breezy went ahead and got us tickets to join them. One thing, though, we are in, at least me and Breezy and Chris and Jade, are in row two. That's pretty extreme, right?
In the IMAX?
I think so.
Oh, dude. I mean,
it's going to be extreme, huh?
Yeah. Where we sat when we saw Guardians, I mean, that was close enough, but oh, man, I couldn't imagine sitting.
We're going to be in it. We're going to be in the film.
Yeah, you're going to be right in there fighting. I mean,
right. Well, at least for Breezy and Chris and Jade, at least it'll be their second viewing, my third. So, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll see it again that weekend. I'll take Marky to go see it because he wants to see it. So,
yeah,
but
definitely.
Keeping with the movies, all of you that are on our E-Society Facebook page, I threw up some trailers of some of the new movies that are coming out. And the first one I want to talk about is World War Z 2. Did you see the first one?
I did see the first one. I thought it was all right. My favorite stuff I heard actually came from rewrites. I love the stuff when they went in the lab and were kind of trying to be quiet and sneak around in the lab. I love that stuff. And yeah, I heard that came from rewrites. That was an addition to that film.
Yeah, not too many people liked the movie because it didn't go along with the book. Yeah, the book was totally different. I mean, but the movie, I liked it for what it was. I've watched it a few times. But in this new trailer, I don't know what's going on. I mean, it seems like there's the trees or something is coming alive because there's a scene where there's a tank or whatever it is, some kind of armored vehicle shooting at zombies and everything. But there's some kind of tree things that come alive. And I know at the end of the trailer, one of the tree things reaches up and pulls a helicopter out of the sky. And I was kind of like,
huh.
Oh, really? I mean, I'll still see it, but I was kind of like, oh, what the hell is this? But
I'm guessing it's an all new cast, right?
Brad Pitt's in it, I think.
Is he?
I think. I'm not sure. But
I'm actually kind of surprised he'd come back.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, I didn't really dig into the movie. I just watched that trailer when it came out, and I was kind of like, okay, what's going on here? I mean, I don't know. I mean,
right.
We'll see. I mean, it's just like, come on, what are you guys doing?
Yeah. real quick before we jump into the next trailer, went to the theaters today and saw Allied with Brad Pitt. It was pretty good. If you've seen the trailer, though, it's sad to say it's one of those movies where they really lay out almost the whole story in the trailer. So it's a good movie, but if you've seen the trailer, it's one of those like, damn, you've seen the movie.
Oh.
You know? So.
Yeah. I'm looking it up. Yeah, Brad Pitt is in this this new one, the World War Z 2.
So yeah.
His character's coming back. But that movie is, yeah, that's what I've been hearing, the Allied one. My buddy went and saw it because the trailer looked good. And he was like, he said, he goes, he didn't really like it. I mean, he was excited, but when he saw it, he was like, eh. He goes, it was.
It's
like,
all right.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Parts of it, there's cool parts, but like I said, it pretty much follows if you've seen the trailer. Like, they hit all the story points of the trailer. All the big moments are in the trailer. And I kept thinking there'd be like, oh, they want you to think that, but it's something else. And no, it pretty much follows the trailer.
Yeah, well, I'll probably wait until it comes on TV or something to watch it.
Right.
But the next trailer I want to talk about is the new Tom Cruise movie, The Mummy. It comes out June. 2017, June 9th. Did you get a chance to check this trailer out?
I did check out the trailer, and it was interesting because you were just talking about World War Z, Brad Pitt. That's what it almost feels like with Tom Cruise. He doesn't normally do roles like that, like The Mummy or like Zombies or anything like that. And I don't know. It seems all right. I'd check it out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still going to see it. And, man, a lot of people are turned off by Tom Cruise, but I'll check it out. I mean, I guess The Mummy's a chick this time, and I don't know. I mean, for what it, I don't think it has anything to do with the previous ones with what's his face? What's that guy's name? He was Encino.
Oh, Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, Brendan Fraser. I would say he was Encino Man. Yeah. I mean, I did like those first two. I didn't really care for Scorpion King with The Rock, but I don't think this has any tie-ins to those movies. It's Universal. It's still their property. And I think from what I understand, they want to do just kind of like rehash their Universal monsters, The Mummy, Dracula, Frankenstein, and all that. So I guess this is the first one that they're doing. I mean, the little bit they showed in the trailer, I mean, it looked cool. And it got me excited to see it. So we'll just have to wait till June till it comes out.
Yeah. I'd be surprised if Tom Cruise was only in this one, though, because he does additional Mission Impossible movies, but he just doesn't seem like the kind of person that would pop up again in like a connected movie universe. But I don't know. We'll see.
This next one, I didn't even know that they were making it because the last four movies before this one were like, okay. And this is Transformers: The Last Night. Michael Bay is directing again, and Marky Mark's back. But this time, it seems like they're crossing over with some of the cast from the original ones. One of those soldiers, I can't remember his name. I saw him really quick in the trailer. So, I mean, for what
was it like Josh Duhamel?
Yeah, that guy, that dude. So, I don't know, man. I mean, the movies were okay for what they were, but I don't know. I mean, I loved all the just seeing the Autobots and the Decepticons fighting and everything. I thought that was cool, but I think just all the other stuff they tried to add into it just didn't do it for me. But I don't know. I mean, I did like that last one with Marky Mark. I thought that out of all those first four, I think that one was my favorite one. And I don't know, man. We'll see what they're doing in this one, because I don't know.
Right. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
That's a maybe. I mean, I've seen all the other ones in theaters, so I don't know why I'd stop now, but yeah.
The next trailer I want to talk about is War for the Planet of the Apes. Did you see those first two?
Yeah, I did. And I thought they were pretty good. You know, this was kind of inevitable that they'd get to this one, and looks all right. But yeah, I'll probably be there to see.
Yeah, it looks cool, man. I enjoyed the first one. First one was okay. That one was, I think, it was Rise of the Planet of the Apes. The second one was Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Out of those first two, I thought the second one was awesome. This one, it just looks just as good. From the trailer, it looks like there's going to be a lot more fighting with the apes against the humans. So that's cool. I mean, I'm excited for this. This doesn't come out until summer, July. So it's right before Comic-Con. So, or is it during? I don't know. I don't know when Comic-Con is. Usually end of July. But this one looks cool, man. Woody Harrelson's in this one. I assume he's the... I guess the humans are the bad guys. That's what I fear.
Well, I mean, we eventually got to get to the point of the first original movie, right? I mean, this is might be where this one takes us, right?
I don't know if those tie into any of those original ones. So I think this is just a whole new, just a rehash. I mean, they just took the title Planet of the Apes and kept adding words to it. And I think this is all just totally separate because in the original series, when the apes took over, was in the... it was the fourth one, Conquest for the Planet of the Apes. That one, which is my favorite. No, yes, the fourth one. When they were all being slaves, basically just they were training them to be servants for the humans because I guess there was some kind of plague that like killed all the animals, like all the dogs and the cats and everything, and apes were the only ones around. I guess I don't know why they chose them to be their servants. But to the apes, I mean, it all seemed like they were slaves, in which they were. I mean, that one, Conquest for the Planet of the Apes, if you haven't seen it or any of you listeners, do check that one out. Yes, it's really political. You just have to read between the lines, especially when that year that movie came out, there was some stuff going on in America that was kind of all messed up and everything. And that movie came out at the right time just to say a message. So, I mean, if you haven't seen it, man, that definitely check that one out. I guess you really don't need to see those first three, but...
Oh, yeah, I've definitely seen the first one.
Yeah, I have all of them, and I've seen them all before. But, yeah, do check that one out. Everyone, if you haven't seen it, check out Conquest of the Planet of the Apes. That one's really good. That one's my favorite. I think there was five movies total. Okay, there was Planet of the Apes, Beneath the Planet of the Apes, Escape from the Planet of the Apes, Conquest, and then there was Battle. I think that was the last one.
Right.
So, but yeah, man, check that one out. What's the next trailer I want to talk about?
I could jump in. The one I gave you the intro on, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yes, that's what I was about to say.
That was awesome. I loved that trailer.
It looks awesome. I mean, it's just a totally different story. I mean, watching the trailer, and some people were getting all mad that, I don't know, I guess that's his friend that finds out that he's Spider-Man. But, I mean... it's Universal. Or no, this is still not Universal. This is still Sony. They still own it, but looks like they're teaming up with Marvel Studios. So I think this might be the last of the Sony years for Spider-Man. So I don't know. I thought that that little agreement was up and Marvel Studios was taking over, but it's good that they're doing teaming up to put this one out. It doesn't come out until July. July 7th, but just a little bit in the trailer, man. I mean, at the end of the trailer, I mean, when Iron Man goes flying by with Spidey, I was like, oh man, I was hyped.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, I love the way we talked about it a couple weeks ago, the way that Vulture looks, and I guess they revealed it at Comic-Con and we only found out a couple weeks ago. But yeah, seeing him in the trailer, it looked great with the whole bomber jacket and the helmet and the whole thing with Tony Stark saying, like, you know, don't worry about it, you know, leave it to, you know, other heroes and other Avengers. I thought that was really cool. And I don't know if you noticed, but when his friend does see that he's Spider-Man, he drops like a Lego Death Star and it explodes.
Oh, that's what that was?
Yeah.
I'm watching it right now. I just saw him drop something.
Yeah.
The thing that kind of got me really super excited for this one is when Spider-Man jumps over that helicopter, and when he opens his arms, he's got those the web wings on his suit. So
right.
I thought that was
smart
awesome.
Design.
Yeah. So, but yeah, man, this one looks good. Spider-Man Homecoming coming out July 7th, and I'm definitely gonna see it in IMAX. So, I think that's the last trailer I got, other than all the Star Wars ones. Oh, well, real quick with Star Wars. I don't know if you watched this little it's not a trailer. It's kind of like a little quick film about this little kid. Did you happen to check out that kid that was wearing the Stormtrooper mask when he was going to school?
I've been meaning to, but last time I tried to load it up, it wouldn't load. And then I was like, ah, so I keep meaning to get back to it. And I hear it's pretty emotional. So trying to prepare for that, too.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I didn't know what it was. My friends just sent it to me. He was like, here, dude, watch this. I was like, all right, cool. Star Wars. I mean, it is a little tie in to Rogue One, but. Check it out, everyone. If you haven't seen it, go to the E Society Podcast web Facebook page, and just go down a few. It's who put it out? Elite Geek was where I watched it, but it's just I think like 2 or 3 minute short video of this little kid and his brother, and the little kid is wearing a Stormtrooper helmet, and oh my God, when it gets to the end, dude, I was. Oh, it was a powerful little video. Everyone check it out because it brought me to tears.
All right, yeah, I'll be ready for that. one more trailer that did drop that I have on the list. Guardians dropped another trailer. Were you able to check that one out?
Yeah, I just got hyped seeing Rocket and Groot. It seems like that was their trailer for this one.
Yeah. You know who else was shining for me? I thought he was good in the first one. We kind of talked about this before. But in two little mini trailers now for this movie, he's like shining. Is Batista is Drax. He's amazing. That scene at the end where he's like, she just told everybody your deepest, darkest secrets and you must be so embarrassed. And he's like rolling laughing. It's perfect. And then he's like, do me.
Yeah, I mean it's I don't really know where it's gonna go story wise, but the trailer was awesome. I mean, just to see the little baby Groot in action.
Yep.
And if it's not already out there in the stores, I'm sure that we're just gonna get bombarded with the baby Groot. Toy stuff, things, whatever. Because I was like, oh my God. But I mean, we'll see. It looks good. Oh, one more thing before we roll forward. Last week when we were, I should have talked about this when we were talking about Walking Dead. Last episode, we were talking about one of the zombies that was in, I think it was Tara's episode. I had mentioned that there was a zombie. For any of you horror fans out there, Lucio Fulci put out a movie called Zombie back in the 80s. And I said it on the show that they like to throw in little Easter eggs and everything. And I was right that the zombie that was one of the ones that were fighting on the bridge was the zombie in that movie, Zombie. And so I was like, oh, cool. So I was happy. I mean, I found a little article. I guess they talked about it on East Society on Talking Dead. And hey, shout out to Steve, man. Thanks for letting me know about that, because then I really looked into it. But yeah, man, I was right, because I saw it, they show it really fast, and then I paused it and I said, that looks like the one from Zombie, but then I wasn't sure. But hey, I was right, so good eye on me. So
nice. Definitely.
One more thing about Walking Dead. There's a video that I put on the page. It's a Christmas story mixed in with some of The Walking Dead. Did you check that video out?
Nope. I better get on that.
It was cool. I mean, it was, yeah. The video's on the page, man. Go on there and watch it. It was funny. I was laughing when I first saw it.
I will for sure. from there, since we're on Walking Dead, I did want to talk about Walking Dead and a few other video games if you wanted to get into that.
Yeah, go for it.
Cool. Yeah, I don't know if you ever got a chance to check out Walking Dead. They do a game, Telltale does a game, and they basically do seasons almost like a TV show on its own where you get to play. Were you ever able to check out any of that or watch anybody play any of that?
No, I haven't.
Okay. I definitely recommend checking it out. It's really cool. It's more, it really is more story-based video gaming. It's basically telling a story in your character, and you don't really move too much. It's more based on the dialogue, like it's telling a story, and it'll get to a point, and they'll be like something to the effect of like, "I think we need to go down to the water. We need to try to get out on the water." Like, "No, we should board a train and go out west. We should go that way." And you can like press like X to like, "We should go to the docks," or circle to get on the train, or you can press the button to remain silent, or ask the whole group what they think type thing. So it's basically like that kind of game. So anyways, long story short, they've done two seasons, and the third season is just about to hit here on the 20th. Season 3 of The Walking Dead, the Telltale video game. So I'm looking forward to the new season.
Yeah, man. Man, where can I see all this?
I'll make sure to post a link both on our eSociety Facebook page, and I'll put it in the show notes for today. But yeah, if anything, it's actually there's you could probably just watch somebody play through the game if you didn't even want to play it, and check out the story, because it's really good. There's one character that's been in all three seasons now, so it's really cool to kind of follow this character who you've also kind of made this journey on. In the first season, they actually do deal with, since it's set right at the breakout, so you visit Herschel's farm, like, before the characters get there from, like, the show and the comic. You run into Glenn at one point, and that's about it for, like, crossover from the comics and the and whatnot. But overall, it's a really, really cool story. Season one especially. You could play it on all the systems, have it basically everywhere. You can even play it on your phone. They have it on like iPhone, iPad, Android, and all that. So yeah.
I'll have to check it out.
Cool. I don't know if you got a chance to see. I also did post this as soon as they hit a few days back on the eSociety page. Game trailers for The Last of Us 2 and Uncharted The Lost Legacy.
Yeah, I watched those, yeah.
Okay, cool. I don't know if you're familiar with Last of Us, but it's also kind of semi Walking Dead-ish. It's a post-apocalyptic world that it's set in, that kind of like society's all broken down and there's creatures roaming and people trying to bar themselves up and stay alive type thing.
I played a little bit of it. Marky had the demo or something on our PlayStation, and I gave it a shot. It was just in these demos, you can only do so much, but I mean, for what it was, I mean, it starts off pretty much from the beginning, and it tells a story of what's going on, or why these characters are trying to defend for themselves. But it seems cool. I didn't go out and buy it or anything, but from the little bit that I played, I liked it.
Right. That's another one where they have just like cinematic scenes, and you could just like go on YouTube or whatever and watch the cinematics for Last of Us, and like, that's a crazy good story right there. And like, it's almost kind of weird to say, especially because there's not many out there like it, but it's definitely like one of the most like emotional games I've ever dealt with. I don't know if you got to the point in the demo, or if the demo even had it, it was the opening level or whatnot with the main character. I don't know. Did you get into any of that, or?
Was it a guy and his daughter?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I assume it started right from the beginning of the game, and I remember that, and I can't remember what happened. I only played it once, but I mean, the little bit that I played, I did like, and
yeah, it's an unbelievably like emotional game, and like it does really like hit you, and you're kind of like on the journey with them, and there's things that really do compare to Walking Dead, where, like, you know, there's parts where there's like other people that are actually like after you, like fellow like survivors, and it's like kind of like surviving from them. They're hunting you and sneaking around, and then, you know, fighting to stay alive. And it's really well done storytelling. So yeah, I couldn't recommend that highly enough. I think you can also pick up the version on PlayStation 4, the Game of the Year version, for like $20 these days too. So it's one that's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah.
And then Uncharted 2, on the other side of that. I don't know if you got to see that trailer, but that's pretty exciting, because after the last one, it seemed like it was over, and now it's cool. They're telling kind of like a side story, not based on the main character, Drake, but a side character from the story, Chloe. So, kind of cool.
Right on.
The series is alive. Yeah, that's a really fun series too, with just like characters that are really well built, and the action's really good. I don't know if you've heard, but they've actually tried for like, I think, 10 years now to try to develop an Uncharted movie. And I could totally see it. It's basically like a modern day Indiana Jones. So it could be cool if they do it right.
Yeah, we'll see.
But anyways, the last video game I wanted to talk about was the one that I picked up the night after we recorded our last episode of E Society. After 10 years of waiting, and a name change and a whole team change and everything like that, and forever, a million E3s, a million Comic-Cons, well, 10 years worth at least, Final Fantasy 15 is finally out and on shelves. So went to get that night, and even for a small town, there was a line when I got there of about 30-ish people, which is pretty decent size line to pick up a video game.
Right.
So, have you seen anything on Final Fantasy 15?
No, I mean, just, well, I've seen a little bit, but I don't even know what's going on in that game. I mean, do they all connect, or?
No, kind of funny little side story. The name actually goes back to the original Nintendo game, the first NES Nintendo Final Fantasy. That company was a failing game company, and they were going out of business, so they named it Final Fantasy, like it's their last game, and it ended up being a hit. So they survived and continue to make Final Fantasies, and then they switched the name to mean like, oh, that's like the last story of that land. And then they even broke that rule, because they've done, you know, Final Fantasy 10-2, and Final Fantasy 13 actually had planned to be three parts, of which Final Fantasy 15 was going to be part three. And halfway through its development, they scrapped the whole thing and made it its own story, whole new team. So that's the reason why it's taken so, one of the reasons it's taken so long for it to come out. But I've only been able to delve into it a little with everything going on and Christmas and wrapping, and then I was sick and whatnot, and, you know, all the normal stuff. But first impressions were, you know, it's fun, it's cool. I love Final Fantasies and the story, but it is kind of weird how it has like its like crazy fantasy stuff that it always does, but they're bringing in more and more real stuff. Like, they make it look more real, and then they add things like Audi cars, however you personally pronounce that, the car brand. They bring in cars, modern cars, and then they bring in like Coleman camping gear and branded things like that into the game. So the way that they react to certain things, like, it just seems so out there, because they're trying to make it in a way more real, but then they act so like kind of insane sometimes, you know.
Oh man.
So anyways, I'll probably get played a little more, and I could tell you a little more about it. But the version I bought came with a movie, which was kind of like a setup for the story. And the cool thing about that was it had voice actors of people we know, Sean Bean, Lena Headey, and Aaron Paul. So that was kind of cool. It's called Kingsglaive.
What was that one called?
It's called Kingsglaive. And you can actually watch that if you do the whole iTunes streaming movies or on demand, you know, if you buy movies like that, or even on its own separate DVD or Blu-ray. It's called Kingsglaive. The interesting thing about that, though, is the same thing, that the same issues that I just talked about with Final Fantasy. Like, it looks so real, but then the way they act and the things they do, like, man, it's just so wild. Like, you could get away with it for so long as it's fantasy, but the more they make it look like reality, the way they act in certain situations, it's so out there, you know? But it's cool.
Oh
yeah, definitely want to talk about that more once I get more into it. But yeah, all right. Final Fantasy 15's out.
Speaking of games, how is that Nintendo Classic or whatever it's called? How's that?
Oh, it's cool. Yeah, it's one of the coolest things about it, and one of the reasons I know that it's been so popular and so wanted this season is that it's just so plug and play. When I can relate this back to Final Fantasy actually. I was pretty annoyed. I went out to pick it up at 9, got home, put it in, and it took 90 minutes to download the patch to play it. So I had to wait. It was almost like midnight, I think, by the time I finally played it. I could only play a little, where I was like, I got to go to bed here. but you get the complete opposite with this NES Classic. Is boom, you plug it in, turn it on, boom. And I think I mentioned this before, but unlike original Nintendo, where you had to just leave it on to save your gameplay, if you wanted to walk away or go to sleep or whatever, you can actually, there's multiple saves. You can save your game anywhere at any time in the game. So.
Oh, that's good. Cause yeah, like my buddy Gav, when the first Nintendo, he was a big Legend of Zelda player. I would go to his house, and then he'd be sitting there playing it, and then we'd leave. I said, you don't turn this off, or you don't save your game? And he's like, no, there's no saving. You just got to leave it on.
Yep.
And he left it it on for, like, forever. I don't think that game ever ends. So every time I went in there, his Nintendo was on, and he just left it, like, paused.
Exactly.
I was like, dang.
Yeah, hardcore gaming back in the day.
this is the game I want to talk about. I can't wait for this. I mean, I'm not much of a one to rush out and buy video games, but I think the day this one comes out, I'm going to go buy it. As you guys know, some of you know, I'm not sure all of our listeners know, but if you listen to my show, you know, I am a huge Friday the 13th fan. And Friday the 13th is finally getting a game. Well, a second game. We had that first one with the Nintendo, and it was garbage. But hey, it was still Friday the 13th. I was happy about that. But this one, it's coming out. I think it's pretty much done because they're talking about it's going to be released early next year. And it's just titled Friday the 13th, the game. I don't want to know too much on this. I mean, there's videos and everything for it, but I don't want to watch it. I just kind of want to be surprised when I watch it or when I play it. The original idea of this video game was just going to be like a slasher killer at a campsite, campground or summer camp or something. But I guess the makers were talking with Sean Cunningham, the director of and the writer of the first movie, not the writer, that was I can't remember his name. But anyway, he directed the first movie. Because he pretty much owns the franchise still. So they were talking to him about this video game, and then I guess one of them kind of like jokingly was like, why don't we call it Friday the 13th and add Jason and all this to it? And then they're like, all right. So like, I guess they went back to the drawing board and did it all. I mean, if the pictures that I've seen, the cover of the game looks awesome. It's going to be for PCs, Xbox One, PS4, and... I think there's going to be like a streaming one you can do. These guys, man, they really did their homework with Jason. Because the appearances I've seen, they show Jason from Part 2 when he has pillowcase or bag over his head. And then the classic first Jason with the hockey mask from part three. And there's another picture I'm looking at right now. It's Jason from part six, Jason Lives, on how he looks there. So I'm super excited for this game. I can't wait for it to come out. Like I said, I try not to look into it too much because I just want to be surprised when I watch it. But I was on the Friday the 13th The Game Facebook page, and this I kind of like really nerded out and like screamed at when I first read this. If you guys know what Friday the 13th is, there's a character in it named Tommy Jarvis. He was portrayed by Corey Feldman in the fourth one. And then in part five, I can't remember that actor's name, but in part six, Jason Lives, they recasted the role for Tommy, and it was played by actor Tom Matthews. There's a picture of him. I guess he got on board. He went in there and recorded his voice, and they did his likeness and how he looked in the movie of part six. So when I saw that character, I was like, oh, awesome. So I'm super excited for this game. And like I said, I don't want to know too much about it. I just want to play it and be surprised as I'm going along. But this game looks awesome, and I have not bought a video game in a long time. So I'm pretty hyped.
Yeah. You played the original NES version too, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I know that's such a classic, and they had a, didn't they have an action figure of it at Comic-Con at some point here?
Yeah, they had a few of them. I got one of them a couple years ago. NECA did a run, or they did a bunch of them, but the exclusive one I got was the box that he was in. It looked like the Nintendo video game box. So I thought that was cool. And when you open it up, it's Jason, and he's like the 8-bit colors, how he looked in the game.
Didn't it like play the little theme too, like in NES little 8-bit music too? I think, if I'm thinking the right one.
Kind of, but I don't know. I mean, that game was so horrible. I mean, it was no good. I mean, it kind of just made no sense. I mean, but
right.
I mean, for what it was, I was excited. I never bought it. My friend, he bought it. He also loves Friday the 13th. And when that came out, he went out and bought it. And I used to go to his house and play it. And I was like, this game's stupid. How do you win?
Right. Like, it was just, you were just constantly side scrolling or something, right?
Yeah. It was just like, oh, okay. When then Jason would come out and kill you real quick. But I don't know. For what it was,
for the time.
Yeah. I saw the cartridge at the flea market one time, and when me and Marky were walking around, it was only like $10. I mean, I wanted to buy it mainly just for nostalgia and put it in my Friday the 13th collection, and then I went back later and it was gone. I was like, oh, man, I should have bought it then. But
yeah.
This game, yeah, I assume it's done, and because they're talking about everyone that pre-ordered it, they're getting ready to ship. They said early 2017, so as soon as it hits the stores, I'm going to rush out and get it.
Cool, cool. I guess that's all we got on the video game tip. Did you want to do a couple sports hot takes?
Oh, yeah, we lost. Now we're 10-3. Hey, but it's all right, man. I mean, we still got a good record. I don't want to blame the weather for the reason we lost. And also, I mean, it did look like Carr's finger.
I kind of do. I don't know if you were watching. I was with the family at the at a pizza place, and that punt return, they just walked right through the Raiders, and I was like, oh man, that's the cold right there. He just walked right through them on the punt return for a touchdown. I was like, he barely touched him.
Oh, so, man, that was, know, I mean, that was
the weather.
That was an awesome run. I mean, I'll give it to him for that. But I was just like, come on. But Carr hurt his finger, and he did look like it was hurting and it was bothering him. And there was kind of not really a controversy, but there was something where you can't really see it in the video. I was reading it this morning. I guess when Carr threw a pass, he threw it high and it hit one of the cables, the camera cables above them. And then it kind of like threw the ball off. That I can't remember who was going to receive the ball because it would have went straight to him. But the ball goes out of the camera shot, out of the top of the screen, so you really can't see. But I guess when the ball comes back in, you can kind of see that it just it was like flopping different. I don't know. I mean, they're not gonna protest or anything, but I don't know, man. I mean, there was a lot. We could have won that game easily with all the mistakes we were making. I mean, because they were just not. I guess I can blame the cold, but
yeah, they put them away quick. Like we weren't even there. We were only there for pizza, and then by the time we left, it was, you know, they had 21, and Kansas City didn't score again. But then Raiders couldn't get 21 to tie it. Back on that punt possession real quick. Did you see the Chief try to dance on your punter who is now known around the league for dancing after he punts?
Yeah, it's dumb.
Yeah, since we last recorded, the Raiders were actually playing. When we were last recorded, the Raiders were playing on Monday Night Football. They did win that one. And at that point, they went to I think they were the one seed. And then it's crazy. Just a week later, they lost that one to Kansas City. And because Kansas City has now beaten them twice this year, they take division lead, which took the Raiders from like the one seed to the five seed. Like, it's crazy. They went from 2 to 1 to 5. So.
I don't know. I mean, we still got a few more games, three more games, I think.
Yeah, plenty of time. We still play the Broncos again, which we talked about 2 weeks ago. We talked about their game, but this last Sunday, man, I was watching Red Zone, and they only check in on the game when they're in the Red Zone, and I barely got to see the Broncos game. That was not a very good game against the Jaguars. We won 20-10, but the offense is just as bad as it was last year. But, you know, I guess all you need in this league is defense to win. And, I mean, that's one of the reasons the Raiders are doing so well this year is their defense. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see. It'll be an exciting last few weeks.
We'll see, man. I mean, we were slowly coming back at the end, and just couldn't do it, man. He just kept throwing the ball behind them or way over their heads, and I was like, oh, I was just getting mad. But hey, I mean, it's all right, man. We still got a good record, and there's still a few more games of football left, and we'll see who's gonna go to the big show. I mean, like I said before, I'm not screaming Super Bowl or anything. I'm not going to jinx my team because all my other friends are screaming that. And I'm like, you guys better shut up because it might not happen. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Like
we'll
I
see.
Said, crazy swing from the possible one seed to a five seed. And there's still time. There's still time. Still play, like I said, still play the Broncos again. So we have that to look forward to as a personal versus game. On the Warriors side, sadly, just right now, as we record, they just lost in Memphis on the road. They're in the middle of a road trip, but it's okay. You know, these things are going to happen. Long season. They're not going to have the 9-loss season that they had a year ago, but this is only their fourth loss and still the best record in the league. Since we last talked, they've had like a bunch of kind of up and downs. They actually did lose at home to the Rockets in double overtime, which in a game that they didn't play well, but they still play well enough to go two overtimes, and then they fell apart in the second overtime. And then they bounced back from that big time. They scored like 138 against the Suns. So they always bounce back big. Klay Thompson made history scoring 60 points in a game. I don't know if you saw that. That's a huge season highlight for us. And he did it like only in like 11 dribbles or something in under 3 quarters worth of play. Warriors basketball, my favorite.
Man, I haven't seen any of it. I mean, maybe just like a second of it if I walk in the break room when it's on. But no, haven't really sat down and watched it.
Yeah. Yeah, that Klay game, they beat the Pacers 142-106. And Klay scoring that 60, it was the first time that's happened for the Warriors since Rick Barry in 1974. So, crazy. But we lost tonight. We'll come back tomorrow. We play in Minneapolis, the Timberwolves, Minnesota, rather, the Timberwolves. So we'll bounce back tomorrow. Still league-leading best. We're fine.
Well, with Sharks news, I mean, we lost the last one that I was watching, but it's all right, man. Well, we got a good record, I guess, man. We're 15-11, so
yeah.
There's some other guys. The Flames, they have 15-13. I don't want to say we're ahead. It's no. Blackhawks are 17-8, so looks like they're number one. And then the Blues, 16-8. And then, what did I say we were? I think
15-11?
I think we're in third place, I think. Well, in the Pacific Division, we're fourth, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Still plenty of time.
Yeah, but 15 wins, man. You can't beat that.
Exactly. All right. Cool. I mean, whatever. Not really big news. I don't know if you keep up with college football, but right before we got on, the Heisman Trophy was announced. Lamar Jackson, Louisville won. I'm here and there with it. I just pay attention to what they say on SportsCenter. I don't really ever sit down and watch college football unless it's like the national championship, and that's usually only if I'm around Joel.
Who won the Navy-Army game? Do you know?
Oh, yeah, for the first time in 15 years, Army won.
Oh, they did? Right on. Okay. Because some of my friends went out there to watch it. But
Yeah, they hadn't won since 2001. Was Army's last victory. It was 2001, so huge win.
Right on. Let's roll forward. Oh, there was something else I wanted to talk about.
Anyways, go for it.
Yeah, back to the movies. There's a little teaser for the next Fast and Furious movie. I guess tomorrow or Sunday, which will be tomorrow if you're listening to this, they're releasing the full trailer. What's it called? The Fate
of the Furious.
Ugh. I don't know, but I mean, it looks like everyone's in it, well, other than Paul Walker, but it looks like Charlize Theron's in this one. I don't know if she's the bad girl, but The Rock is back, and the rest of Vin Diesel, Michelle, and I assume everybody else that was in those other ones. Looks like Tyrese is back, and I don't see Ludacris, so I don't know, but I'm sure he'll be in it.
I heard there was a whole, and it turns out it might have been fake, but there was a whole Rock to make like a whole fake. Maybe it's fake. I don't know. Maybe it was real. But there was like a situation while filming that one where he was like pissed at Vin Diesel, like trying to hype that up. But it turns out that might have been like artificial or something, because by the end, like, he's posting about like, none of that other stuff matters. This is all family, you know, we're all together. Like, I love all these guys. I don't know. Did you hear anything about that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It seemed like it was like actually just trying to hype up the film, like even though for the last one they were on the same side, so as far as their characters went.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. I mean, I do enjoy all those movies, so I'm excited for the next one.
Did you catch any more Black Mirror?
Yeah, I just finished the second season. I think White Christmas or something was the final episode of that one.
Yeah, love that one.
Oh my God! I mean,
that
one was sad too. It was a good episode. I mean,
it was sad. Yeah, and crazy with the whole, you know, spoilers for the episode, White Christmas. The whole end when John Hamm's character is. He's blanked out. He just sees people staticky, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of figured out where it was going to go at the end because after he explained what he did for the jobs he was doing, and then they kind of did say, he goes, I kind of get people to talk. Because in the beginning of that episode, he was helping that guy, like, try to get chicks. And then... the dude that he was in the cabin with was like, never talked in 5 years. And I said, okay. I said, I kind of put this together. I said, okay, they put him in there to try to get him to talk. So
right.
I was right. But it was it was still a good episode.
Yeah, really good episode. That was one of the episodes, if I'm remembering right, that they used they did little tiny small shout outs to past episodes, and one of them was using the song from the one that was like American Idol-ish. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah. When was it in that one?
Well, they use the song again. And interestingly, like it's almost like the song of Black Mirror. Cause at one point in the most recent season, the song comes up again. So nice little Easter egg.
All right. What else was I going to say about that? I think that's it. That was pretty much the only TV. Well, other than all the regular sitcoms that I get through, I think that was the only serious one that I watched. Or that and Walking Dead. I'm still behind on Z Nation. I think I'm like five back. So I need to check that out.
I still DVR Z Nation, but I couldn't be more farther behind. I think I'm like, I still need to watch 2 episodes from the end of last season and then 12 from this year. So yeah, I'm like 14 behind now.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, I need to marathon.
Yeah. Oh, but another TV, for you people that are Netflix watchers, and Fuller House season 2 just started. That came out yesterday, Friday the 9th. I only got through the first episode, but that first season was pretty funny. So, I mean, I gave the first season a shot because I wasn't that big of a Full House fan. I watched it every now and then, but I said, oh, they're older. Let me see what this show is going to do. And, It was a good season. It was funny. I liked it. So I was really excited when season 2 started. I'm probably going to binge watch that one, but I've only watched the first episode so far. So any of you Fuller House fans, I'm sure you guys already know, but do check it out if you're not. I mean, it's funny. I mean, I like it.
Yeah. If you remember when we were talking TV a while ago, I said, like, usually you do laugh track or anything like that, live studio audience, I'm like out. It brings me out of it and I can't roll with it. But interestingly, I also, I was so on the original Full House, but when the first season of Fuller House came out, I couldn't help but just check it out just to see it. And the nostalgia just like swept me in. Like that's what drew me in. And I ended up watching the whole season also, and saving the second season for when Jig comes, so I'm sure we'll binge watch that together. Hunter Pence of the San Francisco Giants was in that first season too. That was cool. They went to a Giants game. So, you know, I know you're a huge Giants fan just like me.
They mentioned him again in this first episode of the new season, but
right. Yeah. Go Giants, right?
No.
San Francisco Giants. Woo!
Nope.
I know. Anyways, I also wanted to mention, didn't want to forget, that the first season of Westworld is now completed. So that's all done and up and finished. You can check that out anytime. I don't want to speak too spoilers about it because you have still have yet to watch it. But the finale, it did answer a lot of questions. There's still a lot of questions for season two. There is going to be a season two, but there's a long wait for it. We won't see season two until 2018. So you got plenty of time to catch up on the first season of Westworld when you want to.
Yeah, well, geez, I mean, well, that show, I mean, it does look they put a lot into it, so.
Right.
I assume, I don't know why it takes 2 years, but I don't know. We'll see. I've only gotten through the first two episodes. I still need to get through the rest. How many episodes was it total?
A total 10 episodes.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's, like I said, that's solid. I don't know if you caught if, or how you were watching those Westworld episodes, but one thing that's been going around on HBO that's coming up this next year, it looks kind of crazy, like, but in a way, like, I'm pretty interested. I don't know if you heard about it. Jude Law is going to be in a HBO show called The Young Pope. Have you heard about that?
I saw like a quick little teaser for it. Didn't spark my interest.
The thing that interested me about it is it's like, I guess he's like a young pope, and it's it's set in modern day, but, they're kind of taking that whole idea. If you've ever either studied it in history or played any of the Assassin's Creed game, they kind of show that, like, you know, the church, you know, was susceptible to corruption and stuff like that. And it's like, this new pope, he is that. He's super corrupt, Jude Law. So, I don't know. It could be interesting as a very weird show.
And that's on HBO?
Yeah, well, coming this next year, there's that. And a miniseries that looks like it's kind of cool. Like, I like the whole, you know, crime mystery thing. They're doing a miniseries, Nicole Kidman and the Shyana Woodley, like Big Little Lies is another show that's coming out for them. Start of this next year.
I never heard of that one.
Yeah, I guess it's based on a book, but definitely going to be checking that out too, just because of the whole mystery angle. And just to bring it up again, that show we talked about last time, Search Party, the more I thought about that show, the more I liked it. And then I realized I watched all those investigation discovery shows and crime shows, and especially that show Disappeared. And I'm always so intrigued, interested in, you know, what happened with these cases and people. And I think that was kind of one of my big draws to that show, Search Party.
What channel is that on?
TBS, and you can get it on demand the whole season, I think, just straight through your cable or satellite, or if on the app, the TBS app. You can watch them all anytime. So, wow. Yeah, that whole season's out. And yeah, you can pull it up like that on demand.
Right on.
So, yeah, it's a cool show.
Here was a documentary I watched the other day while we're on TV. I talked a little bit about it on my show, but I wanted to talk about it on here. It's called Mission to Lars. This is a documentary on a guy. He's got Fragile X syndrome. I'm not sure what that is. It's kind of like a I don't want to call him special. What would you call mentally challenged or something that? This Fragile X, I never heard of this until I started watching this. But it's about this guy named Tom, and he loves Metallica, and his dream is to meet Lars Ulrich, the drummer, and because I guess they were saying all the time, he goes, I want to meet Lars, so. His older sister and his brother, younger brother, they kind of make it their mission to get their brother to meet Lars, and it's on Amazon Prime for those of you that have it. It's not on Netflix. I looked, but it was a cool heartwarming documentary, man. It was awesome. So everyone go out there and check it out. I think you can buy it on iTunes or something like that. But if you have Amazon Prime, it's on there. But do check it out. It's called Mission to Lars. It came out in 2012 because in the documentary was when Metallica was on their Death Magnetic tour. So, but it was cool. I mean, it was a heartwarming documentary, and I really enjoyed it. So, everyone, do check out Mission to Lars.
Cool. Yeah, I did see your post about that, so. I'll definitely look into that. Another thing I've seen you post about, I have still yet to watch the most recent two episodes, but I watched the Seth Rogen episode, the Billy on the Street.
I haven't seen that one yet. I have it on my DVR. I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I get in like a mood where I can watch like that over and over, and then at certain points I'm like, oh, no, I can't watch it right now. I miss Jokers. Jokers is my fallback. Jokers is something I could always have on. Looking at the DVR now, I've got 57 episodes saved.
Dang.
Yeah, love that show.
Oh, man. Oh, speaking of TV, Jimmy Kimmel it was the episode last night. Tribe Called Quest was on there, and it was cool. They did a song from their new album. I don't know what the track was called, but it was a track that had Fife Dawg in it. And what was cool about their performance is every time that Fife Dawg's verse came up, it was Busta Rhymes, Q-Tip, and... another guy, I can't remember who the other guy that had the mic. When Fife Dawg's parts came on, Q-Tip and Busta Rhymes were pointing to the sky. So I thought that was cool. I almost teared up a little, but it was a good performance, man. A Tribe Called Quest is back. It's sad that Fife Dawg's not there, but he's there in spirit. And it was cool that they kept his parts in, because I was thinking, well, who's going to do his parts? But they managed to work that in, because I mean, it's only right to keep his voice in, because he is in Tribe Called Quest. So it was awesome performance. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube now, but it was good for any of you Tribe fans. Check it out if you didn't see their performance last night.
Yeah, I'll definitely look that up. Huge fan, as you know. Downloaded the album as soon as it came out, because I couldn't find it physical copy, and I couldn't wait. It sounds like they did the track that I recommended a couple weeks back on our random song thing, Disgeneration. So yeah, love that track. I'm definitely gonna look that up. We're probably winding down, but before we get into this week's recommendations, we kind of rushed through the last ones. Was there anything you wanted to add on top of last time's recommendations? I was talking about Big Trouble in Little China. I think your movie was Damien.
Was it? Oh yeah, it was. I don't remember.
I'll bring it up on the blog as you talk. I'm pretty sure mine was Big Trouble in China.
Yours was Big Trouble, but I don't even remember what I said.
Well, yeah, I'm going to look it up right now. But I guess, like I said, I guess I don't really have too much more to add on Big Trouble in Little China, just that it seems to be a movie that people either love or hate. Like, there's really no middle ground when it comes to Big Trouble in Little China. Kind of interesting to go back and kind of research that movie, that what they were, when they first put out that movie, they were hoping it would kind of be almost like a version of Star Wars. They were hoping that it would be something they could make a new one every few years. And it really didn't do that great at the box office when it originally came out, but then really found its way as like a cult hit. And that's one of those movies that I could have it on anytime, and it's just so quotable and everything. You're a big fan of that Big Trouble, right?
Yeah. I love that one. The original one with what's his face?
Kurt Russell.
Dennis
Dunn.
I don't know about the remake, or even if that's true that they want to do it with The Rock, but I don't know. Man, I love The Rock, but I don't know, guys.
Yeah, we'll see. Short little side note on that. I didn't watch this trailer, but he's doing Baywatch, the movie. And I guess they're doing it as more of like a comedy, like a kind of satirical take on the whole idea of Baywatch.
I don't know, man. That one looks... I'll probably see it just because of The Rock's in it, but...
And it's a comedy, so... You know,
I don't know.
Anyways, yeah, your recommendation, and like I said, we kind of went through it fast, so I don't know if there's anything you want to add on it. It was Damien, Omen 2 from 1978.
No, I'm sure. I'm pretty sure I said what I wanted to say about it, but
okay.
Yeah, if you haven't seen that movie, do check it out. I think it's the best one out of the original three. I do love the first one, but my favorite one was the second one. So everyone check that one out.
Cool. My musical recommendation, which I pretty much said everything I needed to say about it, was from Moana. One of the title tracks, How Far I'll Go. Since I picked up that track, I also picked up two more. I picked up The Rock's song, which is really funny. You're Welcome. And there was another track I picked up too, from the Moana soundtrack. Anyways, good soundtrack, good movie. If you still haven't seen that, you know, it'll probably still be playing throughout the holidays. And I think you pretty much said everything you wanted to, but just in case, is there anything you wanted to add about the Smiths, How Soon Is Now?
No, it's an awesome song. I was just listening to it earlier. It's an amazing track, man. If you don't know, did you hear that?
No.
Okay. Well, I accidentally played something. It was loud, so I wasn't sure if you heard it. It's an awesome track. The Smiths, How Soon Is Now. It's just, I don't know. It's probably my favorite song from the Smiths. It was a big hit. But it's an awesome track. Do check it out if you haven't heard of it.
Yeah. Both How Soon Is Now and How Far I'll Go. I threw that up, after we did record the last pod, I threw that up on the, show notes. So, you can find that on the eSocietyBlogspot.com and check that out. And the trailers for Big Trouble in Little China and Damien. So, on that note, you got some fresh recommendations lined up?
Yes. This one, I'm going to start with the movies before I get to the song. This is a movie that came out in 1978. I believe it won Best Picture, and it was directed by Michael Cimino. I think that's how you say his name. And this is stars Robert De Niro, Christopher Walken, John Savage, Meryl Streep, and who else? What's his face? There was another dude in it. Did I say Christopher Walken? I think I did. But anyway, this is a movie that came out in 78, and it's called The Deer Hunter. This movie I love. It has to do with these guys. I guess they lived in Pennsylvania, and then they all go into the war, and they end up going to Vietnam, and the stuff that kind of happens there kind of lingers back home with them. It's an awesome movie. Do check it out. It's a really long movie. I'm looking at the running time right now, and it's 3 hours and 3 minutes. It's kind of a slow burn, but it's a really good movie. I mean, the cinematography is amazing, especially during the war scenes and during when they're out in the woods when Robert De Niro is hunting for deer. And it's just the cinematography of the being out in the mountains in the woods was amazing. This movie is awesome. It is a tearjerker, but do check it out if you haven't seen it. And that's The Deer Hunter.
I was when you first said that, I completely mixed it up with another movie you may be familiar with. I think it's Deliverance. I think I mixed yeah. those two up because I was thinking of the whole hillbilly outlander people thing.
Yeah, that movie was awesome too. I love that one. That was that was Burt Reynolds. Angelina Jolie's dad, John Voight, and Ronnie Cox, and Otis from Superman. What the heck? Ned Beatty. Yeah, that movie's Deliverance. That movie's awesome. I love that one. I have to dig it out and watch it. What's your movie?
My movie is another one that's just right outside the top 10 that I wish I had room for it in there. There's a bunch, like I think I've mentioned ever since we did our top 10 movies, I've mentioned films like, Royal Tenenbaums and, Ghost World and, The Martian. All wish I could have those in my top 10, but you know, they're right outside it. There's another one that's right outside my top 10. It's from a few years back. The first place you would see, at least the first appearance for me, of the actor that would go on to be Finn in Star Wars Force Awakens, it's Attack the Block.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yes, I love this movie. It's so good. The box I'm looking at right now in front of me is, they hype it up as inner city versus outer space. It's got awesome London-type slang, young slang in it for a good amount of the movies. I remember when it first came out, a lot of people recommended it. I think, get this, this is kind of crazy to think about. I think Blockbuster was still open. And I remember hearing somebody in Blockbuster say that you had to watch Attack the Block with subtitles on to understand it. But the back of it, the box describes it as Goonies meets Gremlins. Fantastic ride. Anyways, Boyega plays, you know, mostly the silent type in it, but the group of kids in it, they're an awesome group of actors. And it basically is like that idea of aliens versus a young group of kids in London. So if you like the sound of that, I couldn't recommend this more highly. It was that they brought it to Comic-Con, and I think there was an opportunity to see it at a screening, and I didn't get to see it, and I'm super bummed I didn't get to see it there, because as soon as I saw it when I was at home, I instantly loved it. I couldn't speak more highly of it. So.
Yeah, Sweet Robin Courtney went to that screening.
Yeah,
I remember they were saying they were going to go because Sweet Rob was texting me, hey, man, there's still room in the theater if you want to come. And I was like, I don't know what we were doing. I think we were at a party or something. So
probably
it didn't even, I was like, you know what? I'll just check it out later. Cause I remember the next day when I was talking to Sweet Rob and Courtney, they were saying that it was hella good. And I guess, Finn was there. And I guess a couple of the other guys that were in it. I might need to watch that movie again. I only watched it once. It was when it came on HBO. I do own it. I picked it up last year. And I just haven't sat down and watched it again. But it was an amazing movie, man. I mean, I loved it. I mean, it was awesome. It was funny, and the action was cool, and just the whole alien invasion thing I thought was awesome.
Yeah, exactly. One of the other kids, I saw him in that Emily Blunt, Tom Cruise movie. I think it was Edge of Tomorrow. Did you see that one?
Is that the one with the... when it was like Groundhog's Day over and over?
Yeah. Yeah, one of the kids from Attack the Block, he's one of those, the soldiers, the fellow soldiers in that. So it was cool to see him pop up again. So, and Nick Frost is in it.
Oh, he was like the drug dealer that was growing all the weed. Yeah.
Right. But yeah, love this film.
All right, I'm going to talk about a random track. I'm going to pick it's The Heckler from Primus. It was on their live album, Suck on This, which was actually recorded in the Bay Area in Berkeley at the Berkeley Square. The Berkeley Square is not there anymore. It was an awesome little club on University Ave. I've seen many, many performances of Primus in that little small little club. But this song, The Heckler, man, I love it, man. It's just an awesome track. It's just, if you know Primus, I mean, not so much the new Primus, but the old stuff at this time, back in the 80s Primus is when they were like the funkiest. And I think the whole album is good. The whole performance, the whole live album. But I think my favorite song on this is The Heckler. I mean, what I loved about it is just the awesome drum, funky little drum beat that Tim, the heck's his last name? I think Tim Alexander was a drummer. Someone's probably yelling at me, but he's got awesome drum beat, and Les Claypool with just his funky slapping the bass style. I just love Primus. I mean, not so much some of the newer stuff that they did, because they kind of got weird for a while, but I mean, Primus, man, it's awesome, bad. And speaking of Primus, I want to kind of talk about this really quick. If you heard my show, or any of you guys or know about what the tragedy that happened in the Bay Area last week, last Friday, with the fire at the ghost ship, where so from what last I read, it was like 36 people lost their lives in a fire, and it was just everyone out just wanted to party on a Friday night and just. I'm not really sure what started it, but it just, the whole place was engulfed in flames. It's so sad. I mean, it was tough for me to read a lot of the articles on the whole thing, but it's just, I don't know, man. Well, I think it touched me the most, other than it's in my hometown and it was like right across the street from where I used to work. Like growing up in the Bay Area, I mean, going to parties or going to shows, you never really think of the bad things that can happen. And I mean, you know, hey, it's Friday night, we're gonna go party, and you're just gonna think about the good times you're gonna have hanging out with your friends, and this tragedy happened, and it's oh my god. But Prime, speaking of like bringing Primus into this article or into this story, Primus is actually doing a benefit for the victims of the fire. I think it's called Arts Oakland Fire Relief Fund. So far, since they opened that little fund, $500,000 has been collected. But Primus is doing a performance December 14th at the Fox Theater in Oakland. I told Marky, I think he wants to go. It looks like it's going to be an awesome show. Primus is the headliner. Boots Riley from The Coup, he's going to be there, so I don't know what he's doing. Some of the hieroglyphics are going to be there. Rogue Wave, Geographer, or whatever. I don't know who these guys are. And Dan Deacon, I think that's his name. And Rogue Wave and Tao Nguyen. I'm just reading this in this article. And they say there's going to be many others performing that night. But Primus is going to close out the night. And it looks like it's going to be a good benefit, man. I mean, just some of the artists that I had mentioned, especially Boots Riley, man. He's dope, man. He's out of the Coup. The Coup, if you guys don't know who they are, check them out. They're an awesome group from Oakland.
Oh, yeah. I know them.
But it's definitely going to be an awesome night for music, and it's also going to be a sad night because of what the benefit is for. I am actually going to be down there. I doubt I'll be able to get a ticket because I'm sure it's going to sell out. Hopefully Marky got a ticket because I told him about it. He's been dying to see Primus, and this will probably be a good opportunity for him to check him out. Because if you had never seen Primus live and you are a fan of their music, do check them out. Or if you're in the Bay Area and you can get a ticket, I mean, I don't know where to get tickets. I sure Ticketmaster or go to the Fox Theater box office. It is an awesome theater. I've been in there a couple times. The Fox Theater was shut down for a long time, and a few years ago they renovated it and fixed it all up, and it's awesome. I went to a metal show there, and it's a good place. It's a good theater, man. Do check it out, and it's a good this whole benefit's going to be awesome. Hopefully I can go, but we'll see. But yeah, if you guys are in the area, December 14th, the Fox Theater in Oakland, Primus and all the other artists that I had mentioned. But do check it out.
Cool. All right. I guess I should jump onto my song. Been a couple weeks since I recommended something in hip hop, so I kind of had this one up my sleeve for a minute. Chance the Rapper from the album Coloring Book, track 2, No Problem. It's the one you may or may not have heard. There's a video for it. Nice upbeat song. Chance is doing some real good music here, real upbeat. And the cool thing about this recommendation is I can recommend where you can get it for free, because it's a free album. It's a mixtape. I don't know if you're familiar with the mixtape website. It's .piff, but you can get the whole Coloring Book mixtape by Chance the Rapper there. Track 2, No Problem. That's the one I highly recommend. There's other tracks, though. One that's being used right now on ESPN for their to promote NBA games, Blessings, is on there too. So real quick, have you heard any Chance?
Yeah, I've heard a little bit. I can't remember who turned me on to Chance the Rapper, but somebody from work, and I was one of my friends, hey man, check this guy out. And all right, listening to it, who is this? And then he said what it was, but I don't have any of his stuff. But for a little bit that I've heard, sounded cool.
Cool. Yeah. Like I said, it's free, so you can go out and get there on the website, the .piff. Coloring Book is a mixtape. The track I most highly recommend is No Problem. It's a real nice upbeat track. So, yep. Highly recommend that.
That's the website, .piff.
And, I think it's like I said, DATPIF. You know, they have like every like free mixtape that you could think of. If it's a free mixtape, you can find it at Ice. And yeah, Coloring Book is the one that you should pick up. And yeah, interestingly, I know a lot of people are starting to do best of the year and end of the year awards, and this is one of them. I remember when it first hit, I didn't know that it was a mixtape, and one of the other pods that I like a lot, they were talking about it, and they couldn't talk more highly enough about it, so I couldn't wait to check it out. And then all of a sudden, when I looked it up, I found out it was free. So I was like, man, I slept on this and I didn't even need to. So, but
is this just a big mix of, or are these like the whole songs?
Yeah, it's basically like a album, and it's like a quality album. And that was one of the things that on the watch, Chris and Andy were talking about it and how it really could have been a real regular full release. So, solid release. The first track, All We Got, Kanye. The second track I recommended, No Problem, has 2 Chainz, Lil Wayne.
Oh, which one? Which one did you say to look?
It's called the album is called Coloring Book.
Oh, okay. I was looking at the Back to School one.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is a full. It looks like a full album. Is it?
Yeah. It's a full album. From what I'm seeing, 13 tracks. Finish Line has T-Pain and Kirk Franklin. Interestingly, it does have a little bit of a gospel feel to some of it, but I mean, that doesn't hurt things any. It's good. It's positive. You know, in these times, especially this year, you know, seems like a lot's gone wrong this year, a lot that people are down about. So, you know, bring something positive in your life is a good album for positivity right now.
Yeah, I'm looking at this, man. There's a, you just hit download and there it goes. You don't have to.
Oh no. Yeah. Yeah. It's solid. And these it's a good site. It's been around for a while, but yeah, they only deal in stuff that is supposed to be like that. Mixtapes are free. So yeah, that's how they do it.
And this is all safe. I don't want to download it if it's going to mess up my computer.
No, I mean, I'm not like on it a ton, but I have used it a few times. One that I needed when I was searching out all the hip hop that Marvel did with their covers, Currency. He has a mixtape on there. I actually was able to get a few mixtapes that Marvel did covers of. Look at that, what that Currency album is.
Yeah, I don't know. The one I was looking at was Back to School. I don't know. I'll have to go on here and look at the rest of them, see what's on there. We'll listen to them first before I download them. But, yeah, everyone go to, the hell was it?
Dat Piff.
DatPiff, one word, .com. And then there looks like there's a ton of people on here.
Yeah.
See, I mean, this is the type of stuff that I like. I mean, stuff that you don't hear on the radio. I mean, you just kind of just come across it and it sounds good. It sounds good.
Right.
Is this just all just strictly? Is this just strictly hip hop?
Mostly. Yeah. It's mostly a hip hop site. I haven't seen anything otherwise, but, I already gave my official recommendation of the week, like I said, Chance, No Problem, off the Coloring Book album. But if you are messing with the whole Dat Piff thing, one I could recommend that they used for the Marvel covers that I found also on Dat Piff was Currency's album, Verde Terrace. I like the tracks The Jet Business and Hennessy Beach on that one. And just as a fun little aside, the cover that they did that, they used it for the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comic book, and they made the guy from the Verde Terrace look like Phil Coulson. So that was kind of cool.
Right on.
Cool. So unless we have anything else, that just about wraps up. I did want to do a giveaway, but I should have put that out up front. So I think we'll save our giveaway for our Star Wars pod, which is going to come here in just a couple of days. We're going to do a whole Star Wars pod on our love for Star Wars news. I'm going to throw all kinds of Star Wars topics at the Nez for his reaction, kind of like a final hype as we hit these last days before Rogue One. So we got that coming up, and I'll make sure to announce the giveaway at the start of that, and then I'll post that on both the E-Society blogspot and on the Facebook page. So we'll have that to look forward to. That and the Walking Dead mid-season finale. So we'll have that for you real soon.
Yeah, right on. I mean, that's going to be pretty much it for us for this episode. But yeah, like Zeese, you said, man, we'll come back later with a Star Wars episode, as well as our reaction to Rogue One that we're going to do Friday. I'll probably just throw it out.
Live.
Well, I don't know. Well, we'll see. We'll just put it out Friday, hopefully Friday. I'm also going to throw up one Friday night or Thursday night after I watch it. My buddy James is going with me, and I told him that, hey, man, we're going to do a show. And mainly I just want to hear what he thought about it after we're done watching it. I'm going to record a little before we go in and then record some of it after. Hopefully I want to try to talk to some people inside the theater and see what they thought of it. But I don't know.
Cool.
We'll see.
Good idea.
I'll throw it all
together. Alamo Draft House would be a great place to do that, too. I was just looking at pictures today, kind of trying to find out if protection for the souvenir glass we're getting. And yes, we do. So I will be bringing a backpack to, you know, wrap the glass in a shirt after we use it. But they've added a bunch of stuff since I was there a year ago. They're a lot. It was kind of clear before. Now has something. I can't tell what it is. If it's stuff like merchandise to buy, if it was like books, I couldn't tell. But one thing you're really hyped about, they now have a retro arcade right up front. We'll definitely be checking out some of that too.
Right on, right on. Yeah, I guess that's going to be it for this week or this episode. We'll come back later on with some more junk for you. But I mean, that's it for me, unless you got something else.
No, that's it for me. You can find all past East Side Society episodes and all the MacDev podcasts, Podbean, iTunes. We posted up on the Facebook and the blog spot. So, you know, we'll be back at you real soon. And I'll leave you with the words of Jyn Erso. We have hope. Rebellions are built on hope.
And pray for Oakland.